your next great vacation might be something you've never even considered. A private yacht in a beautiful location just for you and your closest friends and family. Explore the beaches of the Virgin Islands, the ancient shores of Greece, or the tropical paradise of Tahiti. This is not a cruise. This is a yacht charter vacation with The Moorings. And it's easier than you think. With hundreds of award-winning yachts to choose from, located in over 20 beautiful sailing destinations, the world is in your hands. Whether you're an experienced boater or looking for a more genuine once-in-a-lifetime vacation, The Moorings can make your dream a reality. Call us today and start your journey to your next great escape. Your private yacht awaits at moorings.com.
All right, Wednesday morning, draft eve, Birds 365. Well, there are a ton of scenarios that always come in on draft day, and we've got the team to figure out which ones are real, which ones can happen, which ones are far-fetched. Bob Brookover, NJ.com, back on the Eagles beat. And you know, Bob, the Eagles beat is a fun one because Howie Roseman has the phone burning up all the time, and he is trying to make moves at all times. So let's get your initial thoughts on moving up and using a pick 50 or 53 to do so. Does that sound like something that Howie Roseman would and should do tomorrow night?
The old phrase, I feel strongly both ways, because, and here's why. So, and really it doesn't have anything to do with anything, except it's really fascinating. The Eagles have made the 53rd pick three times in the 21st century. Their three guys are LeSean McCoy, Miles Sanders, and Jalen Hurts. There have only been four Pro Bowlers in the 21st century picked 53rd overall. The Eagles have picked three of the four. Do you really want to give up that 53rd pick?
I mean, so you should give up 50 then, Bob. The 50, you should, don't even bother with 50.
Which makes no logical sense.
Yeah.
The 53rd pick seems to have worked out better than the 22nd pick for them.
They moved up to get that one, and that was Andre Dillard, which it worked out fine because then they moved up. They had moved up the year before to get Jordan Mulata, and everybody knew that he was going to be the next great left tackle for the Eagles.
Actually, Baldy and Ross Tucker were a ground floor on that. I give those guys credit. So, the former offensive lineman looked at Jordan Mulata and said, "Boy, the traits were there."
He had the measurables of one Liberty Place, and they said, "Yeah, we like that."
I
don't think there's any way that Howie makes the 22nd overall pick. Some other research I did was he's traded first round trades 75% of the time in the 12 drafts he's made. He's been involved in first round trades. Not only that, in the 21st century, nobody's wanted the 22nd pick. That pick's been traded like 62% of the time. So you factor in those two things and you're like, there's no way. And then to me, Howie's going to want the best of, and to me, I still say either an offensive tackle or a cornerback. For me, I would go with after the cornerback because, you know, part of the Jordan Mulata thing is that Jeff Stoutland was a huge part of making him into what he is today. When you have Jeff Stoutland, you have somebody who is brilliant at molding guys, although it didn't do a great job with Andre Dillard, I guess. You have that. And I just think the bigger need is at cornerback. I think they're going to move up to get one of those guys.
So that is separate from that Howie has never taken a corner since 2010. No first-round pick for Howie Roseman at that position.
None. And, well, the Eagles have only taken three in their history. Here's another reason to take one, because the three they've taken have been pretty good. Lito was the last one. He was a Pro Bowler. He was great the year they went to the Super Bowl. Before that, it was Ben Smith, who was his trajectory was to be
Georgia.
What's that?
Georgia, another Georgia guy.
Who knew even back then? But his trajectory has been a terrific player before he got hurt. And before that was Roy Nell Young, who maybe should be in the Eagles Hall of Fame.
Yeah, Roy Nell was a good player. Yeah. But you know why? I don't blame Mike for bringing that up, but you know why I don't care about those kind of stats?
Because they don't matter this year.
Yeah, they don't matter this year, but They've tried. They wanted to take Patrick Surtain, J.C. Horn, and the DeMonte. They wanted to take Derek Stingley, but he went third overall, whatever he wants. So, I mean, they've been very interested in corners.
Yeah.
The board just hasn't broken their leg.
Are they interested in corners if it's an elite, like a top 10 situation?
Yeah, basically.
Not so much that second tier guy is what we're saying.
And what John just said could absolutely happen again tomorrow. You know, they want Quinion Mitchell or Terry and Arnold, and so do the teams in front of them. They're not willing to make that trade.
Exactly. So. Pittsburgh evidently is trying to trade up to get a corner. Minnesota, if they can't get the corner, I just mentioned in the opening thing, if they can't get the quarterback, and obviously they need the quarterback, but there's no guarantee they can go up and get him, their second spot would be corner. And they're 11, so you're not getting above them in a trade-up. And all of a sudden, if it's Quinion Mitchell, which is the guy I sort of bounce back to, Bob, he might not be there, and he might be screwed, and you know they might take the offensive tackle, and people will be saying, they haven't taken it next year. They haven't taken a cornerback since Lito Shepard, which is factually true, but kind of meaningless.
That's a great point.
Yeah. Now, Isaiah Rodgers, that doesn't ship things for you? The splash, he's back.
Yeah, well, I don't know that splash. Isaiah Rodgers, he hasn't played in a year for one thing.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that
some Eagles fans have talked themselves into they got Deion Sanders, Brookie. I don't know about your social media, but mine is like, this guy's phenomenal.
He was like a backup quarterback for a year. The guy that can't play is great. So
always backup quarterback situation. Right.
So I think it's a good thing for them that there's another body that they can look at, and who knows how. But you know, the other thing we don't know is, can James Bradberry have a bounce back year for the Eagles? He's been good. I mean, I think it was 2017-18 he had a really not very good year, and he bounced back nicely from that. Now he's obviously going to be older. He's in his 30s now, but you know, the guy's a pro. He knows how to play the position. So,
well, I love James, and I'm sure you love James from covering him with the Giants and now with the Eagles. Great guy. But I bottom line, Brookie, I don't think he's getting the opportunity if they draft a corner in the first round. Then I think he's going to be a post-June 1st cut. They'll try to trade him. But I'm sad by that because I think he would. I've said this pretty consistently. I think he's going to have a bounce back season in Vic Fangio's scheme if given the opportunity. But if you're not given the opportunity, it's kind of hard to have a bounce back season.
Right. But I'm with you 100%. I mean, on all those things, you know, I go to the Sixers game the other night. Those officials would have called in that Super Bowl, they called that penalty against him. They would have called
they would have called the foul. Yeah. Bringing up some bad memories. Don't get the Sixers fan started, Brookie, because you know, officials. You can also box out. I'm just saying, teams get screwed by calls all the time. That doesn't mean you have to give up. That's all I'm saying.
Persevere.
Yeah.
It's you know, we're at the eve of the draft and you start to hear all the stuff, but it feels, guys, do you feel the same way that I'm kind of feeling, that corner almost feels like the fait accompli here? And it almost seems it's too obvious, right?
The other thing is, you don't necessarily have to get Quinion Mitchell or Terry and Arnold. To me, one of the most fascinating guys in the first round is Cooper DeJean, because I've seen him. You look at different evaluations of him. Pro Football Focus, for instance, has him rated as it's their best cornerback at number eight on their entire big board. You go back, and I just before I came on, I looked at, I'm curious, what did Cooper DeJean do against Marvin Harrison? And they had a good game, and Marvin Harrison had 7 catches for 62 yards. How good is he? He's a fascinating player because everybody talks about how he can play corner, can absolutely play cornerback, could also play safety, could play in the slot. If a guy like that is falling toward you, do you go up and get him? Nate Wiggins from Clemson is on that board. And Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Who wouldn't love to have a guy named Kool-Aid on your team? I'd be excited just typing that in. Kool-Aid. Yeah,
the headlines write themselves for Kool-Aid when Eagles fans.
Well, I had a chance to draft a guy named Ha Ha, and they passed on. They didn't get the opportunity to
They wanted to draft Ha Ha.
Had the chance that year, and they didn't end up getting him. So now you could possibly.
Which, by the way, that's another example. The Eagles never draft safeties in the first round. Well, they would have, but you know, Green Bay traded up. And they were stuck with Marcus Smith, rookie. And that's kind of what happens in the draft.
I once got a nasty email because I wrote, ha ha, Clinton Dix got hurt.
Anyway. That's pretty good.
Boom.
Yeah, so Cooper DeJean is an interesting guy where you said he could play corner and or safety. And it would be interesting to see how the Eagles would view him with the notion of, John, as you just said, well, the perception is they don't draft safeties in the first round. So if they draft him, would they try to keep Bradberry and play him at safety? Or would this be a situation where we think Bradberry would be a post-June 1st cut?
You know, one of the things I like, I agree with John. Is I don't know about Cooper DeJean. It's a good question, but one of the things I like about what, if we go back to the Lito Shepherd era, is Lito Shepherd. They drafted Lito Shepherd and Sheldon Brown, and they said sit, watch, and did for 2 years. And when those two guys came in, you know, they had Troy Vincent and Bobby Taylor in front of them, and I'm not sure Darius Slay and James Bradberry have had good careers. I'm not sure that those two, but. Hey, you know what? Keep James Bradberry around for a year. The knowledge he's got, we already had that lecture. John was there for the lecture we got from Howie and Nick about, hey, these guys are learning from the best. You know what? You don't have to bring these guys in and absolutely play. Now, I think if you do that with Mitchell and Arnold, you're probably going to have that June 1st cut. But if you draft Cooper DeJean, hey, you know what? Let him roam around and play a little bit. Let him listen to James Bradberry and Darius Slay and learn some things about playing in the NFL. I don't hate that idea at all. And the Eagles have done that a lot with guys because they've been able to. A lot of teams, when you draft a guy in the first round, you absolutely need to plug and play.
Yeah.
We don't know what Vic Fangio would draw up for him, but he was used in a multitude of ways at Iowa. Would Vic Fangio say, I have a way that I could use him that's not corner or traditional safety? I think that would be a complete wild card of seeing how he would want to incorporate him into his version of the Fangio defense, which he is the architect of, right?
And I bet he has some plans for it if he did it. Yeah, I'm sure of that.
Yeah, I wouldn't worry about Vic utilizing players correctly. I think that was a big problem last season. I think that'll settle down at least somewhat with Vic Fangio, but we'll see. Maybe we even get to talk to him someday, Brookie. Maybe the coordinators.
Yeah, I go back to my Giants days. They talked to like all three coordinators, the head coach, all three coordinators, and like eight players in one day. That's a pretty good haul.
Yeah, that's you're back in a different situation, different time, to say the least. But I don't even know if the Eagles are aware there's an event tomorrow at the NovaCare Complex. It's just sort of osmosis. We all just show up, and things will happen during the NFL trip. But I digress. Sorry, Eagles, if they're listening. Which sometimes they are. When you talk about, I think there's a lot of groundswell up corner, the trade, potential trade up. I saw a wild rumor from Jeremy Fowler this morning and Dan Graziano, who are very plugged in, that they might be looking at a wide receiver, which I'm sorry, I'm not buying. Even Brock Bowers, who I think is one of the best players in the draft, but I'm not buying that. If they end up and they just take the offensive lineman, how shocked would Bob Brookover be by that?
Yeah, I wouldn't shock, because if you go to the
you want to
tie in the cornerback stat. I think they've drafted, in that time where they haven't drafted a cornerback, they've drafted 23 offensive and defensive linemen in the first round. So yeah. I mean that's their MO. And you know, I wouldn't be either shocked or disappointed, because you know, the situation is there. They need a right guard. It doesn't sound like they're really enamored with Tyler Steen, who they took in the third round last year. Matt Hennessy is the other guy they brought in, a somewhat local guy. And he went to Temple. So I wouldn't be shocked. And the other thing, obviously, is that Lane Johnson's days are growing short. So, it wouldn't be shocking. And for the right guy, absolutely. And everything I've heard is this is a deep drafted offensive tackle. Some of those guys grade to be guards or centers by some people. But, hey, if you can get a guard that can go play tackle, if you can get the next Sean Andrews, who could have done it.
Andrews was a great player. But I don't know if you guys saw this real quick, Mike, before you jump in. Paul Henbo works for ESPN. Does a lot of good stats. He went back over the past 20 drafts, so we're talking about two decades, and judged it by players in the first round who got second contracts. Not a perfect system because you could still be a good player. And he judged the hit or miss rates. The only positions above water, so above 50% over two decades, are center, offensive tackle, and guard. Everything else is under 50% getting that second contract. Everything else, only offensive line. So for Eagles fans that get upset, and it's not sexy when you take the offensive lineman, you got a better chance to get a long-term, meaningful player there than anywhere else.
So what would you think if they just stayed at 22 and here's a guy who only plays tackle, that's it, but much better potential, or the guy who has versatility? Do you take the guy who only plays tackle and he stands on the sideline for potentially 2 years, or do you grab the guy who has positional versatility?
Yeah, well, I think the guy who's is the best tackle is going to be gone, for one thing, at 22. So he's not going to be there. But, yeah, ideally you get the guard who can play the tackle. But again, if you get a guy who you think is absolutely going to be the next your right tackle, and he has to watch for a year or two, that's what they did with Andre Dillard. He wasn't supposed to be plugged in and played. Milata is a different story, but they.
For some, the sea is not a place. It is a calling, a home away from home. If you find yourself drawn to the water, we can take you there. Imagine you, your friends, and family on a private yacht in the most beautiful places in the world. From the Bahamas or the Virgin Islands to Greece, Italy, Tahiti, and beyond. This is a yacht charter vacation with the moorings, and it's easier than you think. Inquire today. Your next great vacation begins at moorings.com.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Aloe or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Save big money on your next project now at Menards. Brighten up your garage or workspaces with LED utility and panel light bulbs from GT Light. GT Light light bulbs are energy efficient, and with their easy adjustable light panels, you can direct light where you need it most. Save big on all GT industrial utility and panel light bulbs. And don't forget to check out our weekly flyer for more hot deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
They weren't in a rush to get Andre Dillard on the field. They wanted him to learn the position.
So do we feel like the Eagles are in the, like, the fans, they want the guy at 22 or wherever to be on the field immediately to help this team. Is that not where teams, Bob, you've been around the Giants, you've been around the Eagles, do they not need this player to help out immediately? Nolan Smith did not help out last year. He was a first-round pick. We can get into him and how much he needs to help out. But if they take a guy in the first round this year, do they look at it and say, if he's a corner and he doesn't get on the field because we have Bradberry and Slay, oh, well. If he's a tackle because we have Mailata and Johnson, oh, well. Or do they need a player to help this team out?
Well, I might argue if you go back and look at 2022, they didn't, and it was shorter, they had a lot fewer guys drafted, but they didn't really need anybody from that draft class to really come in. And, you know, Jordan Davis was the first overall pick. He didn't play that major a role. But last year they ended up needing guys. Sidney Brown ended up having to play more. Carter, I think they knew was going to play more. But it wasn't like a draft where they had – you know, a bunch of guys who they thought were going to come in last year, but they ended up needing to. And maybe, you know, even Khalil Ringo at the end of the season was playing more and they started playing Nolan Smith. Maybe that was part of the problem down the stretch, is that they were relying too much on younger guys and guys who weren't ready to do things. You know, it might have been part of the problem, especially in the back end. So, I think it's fine. You go to your Giants point. I covered the Giants last year. Their first two picks were Deonte Banks and John Michael Schmitz. They both became starters. Schmitz did not have a good year. Banks had great confidence, but didn't have a great year. Was okay. Now, could they come back this year and be really good players? Yeah, but they weren't NFL. Just, you know, plug them in, great stud players. But the Giants had no choice. They had to do it.
By the way, I love Deonte Banks, Brookie. Maybe it's because of that confidence. I think he's going to be a good player, but you bring up an excellent point, especially in Philadelphia, and New York's the same way. I don't care if it's Quinyon Mitchell, Terrion Arnold. They're going to struggle as a rookie cornerback in the NFL against some of these receivers that they're going to be up against. And you're going to hear the groundswell. What do we draft this guy for? You mentioned Banks, who I think has got tremendous upside. And it starts pretty quickly. I don't know if it's the age of social media, but people are really impatient. You can't think that way as the Eagles, but I think it's a factor, especially in this scheme. We were talking about Baker a little bit. It is complicated for a young player. A lot of zone coverage, a lot of different zones. You got to spin off after the snap. You got to communicate well. You got to pass guys off. There's going to be blown coverages. Does that make you pause and say, maybe I will go in a more safe spot?
Yeah, no, because you know what? Trial by fire is the only way to do it. You know, the veteran guys are going to the veteran guys are going to struggle doing it too. I mean, they have to learn the system too, you know. But for the rookies, you know, you're going from algebra to advanced calculus. You know, and it ain't easy, and it doesn't matter that people don't understand. You're still going to hear it, you know, when things don't go right. But I'm going to go back to Deonte Banks. He was great at just, yeah, I'm going to be good. Yeah. He has a way about him. He's like, you know, very short sentences. No, I'm going to be good. I'm going to be good. He had a bad game. That doesn't matter. I'm going to be good. That's the way he was.
I love that. That's the thought process you have to have as a cornerback.
Slay absolutely has it.
Yeah. Well, if you could, Brookie, I think that's an interesting, you've been around the Giants and the Eagles, two NFC East teams. In covering them leading up to the draft, how the two organizations view this day?
Yeah, well, the Giants Giants fans have viewed this day as a disaster a lot of times. So the Giants, you know, the Giants are, it's the third year of the Joe Shane regime. If he doesn't have a great year, it could definitely be the last year for the Brian Daboll era. I don't know if Joe Shane is on the same short leash. I'm sure he needs to have some guys start to make an impact right now. And he's got all kinds of issues going this year. And again, I think the point before is that the Eagles have basically been able to say, hey, we don't have to rely too much on our rookies. We want to bring them in. You know, at times they have, and, you know, obviously, Devontae Smith was a guy that came in and had to play right away. And at that point, who was it that led there? Travis Fulgham, I think, led the team in receiving. So, yeah, it does happen. But the Giants seem like to consistently have had to rely on these first-round guys. And, you know, when that first-round guy is Kadarius Toney, and, you know, two years ago was Evan Neal was a problem. And, you know, even Kayvon Thibodeau, he was good as a rookie, but he wasn't great. You know, he had a learning curve, you know, and some people still aren't all that impressed by him, even though he had a pretty good year sack-wise last year. You know, it takes time. To John's point earlier, you don't just come in this league. The outliers of the guys who come in this league are great.
But it also, Bob, shows, you know, I think one of the differences between the Eagles and a lot of organizations, as you just said, like the Giants are in a situation where they almost are afraid to make a mistake on draft day. And Howie has such, you know,
Howie can do whatever he wants. I talk about it all the time. It's a luxury.
Yeah, he has the freedom to make mistakes where, like, you're kind of implying that the Giants are in a position where they need to get this right. And that's how these two organizations in the NFC East operate differently, where one has the freedom of possibly making a mistake, where the other is – this is a tense moment for them.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, now I'm fascinated by this Giants draft because they end up back at 6, which is where they got Daniel Jones – and a draft that's deep in quarterback, that which they need. But to me, they should simplify. The Giants should simplify things and just say, hey, you know what? We're going to sit at 6. We're going to either take the quarterback if we want or we like. If we have three of them, if one of the three is there, we're going to take him. If not, we're going to take one of the stud receivers because Lord knows they need a stud receiver as well. And then you let Daniel Jones play for a year, and you know you just had all the confidence in the world on a year ago. So bring him back, and if it doesn't work, then you're up there. Obviously, you don't necessarily have a great quarterback draft again next year. But you know what? Either way, you're going to get your look at Daniel Jones, and you're going to get your stud receiver.
Well, and it feels like, you know, with the Eagles, Howie, it's offensive line, edge rushers. That's their sweet spot. A team like the Giants, they don't know who they are yet in what they're, you know, and that's, I think, another thing that makes this day interesting is some teams stick to their plan. The Eagles, one of them, and that's why the corner talk is very interesting because they don't go that way.
By the way, with the Giants, Brookie, it's no coincidence for many, many years they had consistency in the front office, you know, Jerry Reese and you know, when they shifted away from Jerry, it's been a shit show. I can curse on YouTube. It's been awful.
A revolving door as well.
It's been awful. And to me, other teams don't watch these teams that have long-term consistency. Everybody calls the NFL a copycat league. It is, but they often don't copy the right things. And when you have GMs GMing for their job, or coaches coaching for their job, it generally isn't going to work that well, which is why I'm concerned with Nick Sirianni from the coaching perspective this year. But we'll see how that shakes out. Back to the draft a little bit, Brookie, with the Eagles. And, you know, it takes two to tango. I think it's circling down that the Eagles want to trade up, but that doesn't mean you can trade up. If you're forced to stay at 22, would you like to trade back? If you can't get up, would you like to trade back?
Yeah, I mean, obviously it depends on what a team's offering and what you think you can still get. I mean, how far do you want to move back? If I'm Howie Roseman and I can trade back to either early second round or late first round and also get a third round pick, you know, if the guy I absolutely love isn't there, you know, yeah, I would definitely consider that, especially, you know, now you look at, okay, you're going to essentially get four players in the top 50 of this draft. If you trade back, say, let's use 32, they trade back to 32, they get a third round pick. So now you got 32, 50, 53, and it's 80, whatever, 85, whatever the number is. So you get three players in the top 100, you know, or four players. I mean, I'm sorry. See, this is why I'm not.
Yeah, four in the top 100. Yeah. You know, from everybody I've talked to, you have those levels. There's probably 7, 8 blue chippers. There's probably 18, 19 real first rounders, whatever you want to describe them. And then you're sitting at 22 and you're not getting one of those players. You can probably get a similar player at 30, 31. I start thinking about seriously trading down if I can't trade up. But that's not it. You know, you need somebody to want to come up to 22 and they're going, why do I want to come to? So it works with both ways. But just from a philosophy standpoint, if I can't trade up, yeah, I'd like to trade down because you're going to get a very similar player at 22 or 30, say, I think.
Yeah.
Well, the conclusion I came to looking at the 22nd overall pick was nobody wants it.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Exactly. Yeah. And the other, you know, you talk about, is there a player that at 22, you know, we talked about the year where the Eagles had 6 players on their board and they were all there and then somebody jumped over top of them. Do they have a bunch of guys that they say at 22, we're happy with this guy, this guy, this guy when they're there? Or is that a spot where they don't think that there's anybody? So in other words, the guy they want, they're going to have to move up to get.
Yeah. I mean, I think if you sit at 22, there's going to be somebody that they like well enough to take. But just given Howie's history, he's chomping at, I think he's chomping at the bit to move up. And, you know, again, doesn't mean not going to. And before I go on, I don't want to entirely pick on the 22nd pick, but I do want to bring back some.
Well, Justin Jefferson was 22.
Where I was going. Yeah. The exact history is, of course, number 21 was Jalen Reagor.
Exactly. Yeah.
The other great 22 pick was Demaryius Thomas.
Pretty good too.
He was a great 22 pick.
You can get a very good player if things shake out well. Yeah. But obviously, the farther you go, it becomes a little bit more difficult. At Brooke OB, make sure you follow Bob on X, Twitter, NJ.com. Does a tremendous job back covering the Eagles. Going to be an exciting draft. And Howie said himself, Brookie, it's not, I like the trades. He said it himself.
He said it in that weird voice to himself. I like the reads.
Who would it? By the way,
he was back. He and Nick were back to their jovial selves. They looked so miserable after the season. The season-ending press conference. They looked like they hadn't slept in about a month. Big bags.
Depressed. That was exactly how they should have looked.
Exactly. Yes. Exactly. Depressed. How
it would look like Jeffrey Lurie scolded them, slapped their hands out of the cookie jar, and now they were back to themselves. Just glorious and joking and buddy. Yeah, it was good to see.
Good to see that. That's the way they should have felt because that's the way the entire Delaware Valley felt. Well, Bob, it'll all happen tomorrow. We'll find out who the pick is and we'll see your reaction. NJ.com covering the Eagles as they draft 22, but most likely not tomorrow night, says Bob Brookover. Thanks, Brookie.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Bob. Has a great article about the 53rd pick in which the Eagles, that's some inside information, or not inside information, it's open to everybody, Miles, but you have to do a little dig in there. Feeling.
Yeah.
Who's the best?
So
of the
trade
three?
The 50, that's what that tells me. Trade 53. The 50.
53 is the pick. Yeah, you're saying trade the 50. Miles Sanders, LeSean McCoy, and Jalen Hurts were all 53. Yeah. What are the percentage chances to get 53 that many times and hit it?
Yeah. Not good. You know, the percentages I just mentioned in the first round are under 50% for that second contract for every single position except offensive line. So, you know, obviously as you get to the second round, it's not an exact science and, you know, people don't like to admit it. And Miles, by the way, Miles and Jalen, that was back to back. So how weird is it? Do you get the 53rd pick? I think Miles was 2019, Jalen was 2020. They had the 53rd pick back-to-back, and they hit on it both times. And then if you go back to the 2019 draft, they had 57 as well, and that turned out to be J.J. Arcega-Whiteside. So, you know, it's not an exact science. Let's put it that way. And people still cringe over that because DJ Metcalf was on the board. But as I said, and I just wrote about that on Sports Illustrated, he was off the Eagles board because of the neck injury. He had Buzyn surgery, and they weren't going to consider him until day three. But people still bring it up, you know, because he's worked out.
All right,
to say the least.
We've got a full another fresh hour coming up. Bob Groats is going to join us at about 9:20. So stick around for Bob's thoughts on the draft. You know, there's so many scenarios every year. You get to the end and it's like this could happen. Yes, it all could happen. But which is the most likely scenario? I know, John, you have a couple of trade up options in your mind as well. And of course, pick 22, as Bob Brookover just said, doesn't look likely for the Birds. So we'll get into all the scenarios. And if you have a scenario, because to me, I'm interested to get a kind of a unscientific poll of the viewers. Would you rather draft a player and not know what you're getting, or trade for somebody and know what you're getting? I'm in that boat. If you told me I'm trading 22 to get an actual player who has played and is good, give me the player. I'll give up my 22nd pick. So you guys can chime in on that as well as we give you another hour coming up next on Birds 365.
Get 15% off a set of Brake Best Select, Select Pro, or Import Direct brake pads and two rotors now at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly Auto Parts.